You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey everyone, this is Mark. Thanks for tuning in. Today's episode is the second of a two-part series where we discuss things to do and see in New Orleans this time of year. If you missed the previous show, which was the first episode of the podcast, be sure to go back and listen to it. On that one, we covered the first six items on our list, and I think you'll enjoy it. As I mentioned in the last episode, this is a great time of year to be in New Orleans. The summertime heat and humidity usually ease up, the Saints are in season, and there are fun things to do that maybe don't get the attention of Jazz Fest and Mardi Gras. Some of them may be familiar, but I hope at least a few of them are new to you. Let's jump in. I got a little carried away last time, and I gave you six things to do, so today we'll pick up with number seven. Number seven on the list is the Bayou Classic. The Bayou Classic refers to an annual football game between the Grambling State Tigers and the Southern University Jaguars, both of which are among the 107 historically black colleges and universities in the United States. In reality, though, the football game is just the culmination of a series of events that bring more than 250,000 fans and alumni to New Orleans during Thanksgiving week each year. For our purposes, I want to focus on two events and dig into the history of the schools a bit. First up is the Battle of the Bands on the Friday night after Thanksgiving. This is my favorite part of the week, and it's the event held in the Superdome that attracts more than 10,000 fans and alumni, all focused on the bands. Both of these bands have international reputations for their high energy, really elaborate routines performed during the halftime of football games, during public appearances, and parades. First off, the Grambling State Marching Tigers. They're also known as the world-famed marching band. Among their many achievements, they performed in the first two Super Bowl halftime shows, and that was back before the NFL even called it the Super Bowl. So it was 1967, 1968. Jumping forward a good bit, in 1999, then-President Bill Clinton played with the band during a halftime show at Grambling. Another thing that's impressive to me is that, on average, the marching band has 160 members each year with a GPA of more than 3.0. On the other side is the Southern Jaguar Band, which is also known as the Human Jukebox. They have performed at presidential inaugurations and in the halftime of six Super Bowls. In 2014, the USA Today named the Human Jukebox as the best marching band in the country. During the Battle of the Bands, the focus is on the music, so there's no big elaborate routines like you would typically see during the halftime of the college football game. Instead, each squad attempts to outdo the other with their sound and the creative choices in popular music and the energy. For instance, this year the Southern Band performed Hello from Adele. So you can expect timely music, popular music in the culture, really big sound, and of course lots of energy. The supporters of each side are very proud of their bands, and they're loud in their support, they're loud in their outfits, and everything in between. You can expect a spirited debate about whose band is best, although there is a contest each year and there is a band declared the winner. Of course, the losing band never really feels like they got a fair shake in it, and that's just part of it. Another feature of that evening is a Greek show where members of the various fraternities and sororities of the two schools perform step routines as part of a contest. If you're an alumni of either school, then you know about the rivalry and the festivities surrounding the Battle of the Bands. But if you're not, you might check it out for a uniquely New Orleans experience. And if college football is your thing, you won't want to miss the game on Saturday. Let's talk about what makes it unique. Well, for one thing, they've been going at it a while. The 2015 contest marks the 42nd year the two Southwestern Athletic Conference teams are playing in the game known as the Bayou Classic. The tradition and the history of the schools is what makes it a unique experience, at least from my perspective. While the rivalry is strong, the two schools recruit from the same base, so my observation is there's a real friendship that crosses school allegiance in a way that feels different from, say, rival schools in the SEC. It may be the history of the schools themselves that drive that, so let's talk about that for a minute. As I mentioned earlier, both schools are part of a group of organizations known as Historically Black Colleges or Universities, also known by the acronym HCBU. and an HCBU school is one that was created before 1964 and was established primarily as a learning institution for African American students. As I also mentioned, both schools are members of the Southwestern Athletic Conference, or the SWAC. So Grambling University was founded in 1901, and it emerged from the desire of African American farmers in rural North Louisiana who wanted to educate other African Americans in that part of the state. So they formed an alliance in 1896, and that group of farmers got together and solicited help from Booker T. Washington. With Washington's help, the school we now know as Grambling was founded. And Grambling is located in Lincoln Parish, which is in the very northern part of Louisiana. It's in the central part, so I think about halfway between the Texas border and the Mississippi borders with Louisiana, and not too far at all from the Arkansas border on the north. There's far more to Grambling than football, and I just mentioned a couple of things. But when I think of Grambling, I think of football, and specifically of two people. One is Eddie Robinson Sr., and the other is Doug Williams. Coach Robinson was the Grambling football coach for 57 years. He's one of the winningest coaches in college football history with 408 wins, and he's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. As a kid, I knew about Coach Robinson because I was a big NFL fan, and more than 200 of his players went on to play professional football, including three Hall of Famers who went to the university: Buck Buchanan, Willie Brown, and Charlie Joyner. Charlie Joyner played for the Chargers when I was growing up, and I just remember seeing him and thinking about how fast he was. I used to wear the little sweat socks with the colored bands around the calf, and I would tuck my jeans into them and pretend I was a football player like Charlie Joyner growing up. The second person I think of when I think of Grambling football is Doug Williams. Williams is a native of Louisiana, and he's a Grambling graduate who played quarterback for the Tigers in the late 1970s. After Grambling, Doug Williams went to the NFL, where he played for Tampa Bay and for the Washington Redskins. And he also played in the United States Football League, which was a rival pro football league for a couple years in between when he played for the Bucks and he went on to the Redskins. The thing probably most people know about Doug Williams is that he was the first African-American quarterback to play in the Super Bowl. And in fact, he was the MVP of Super Bowl XXII in 1988. When the Washington Redskins beat the Broncos 42-10. By the way, the other quarterback in that game was a guy named John Elway. Let's talk about Southern University for a minute. While the band may be the first thing I think of, it's hardly the most significant. Southern was founded way back in 1880 and was originally known as Southern College. It was located in New Orleans until 1914, when it moved to its present location in what was then known as Scotlandville, just north of Baton Rouge. These days, that area has been incorporated into Baton Rouge. Among the many distinguished and famous graduates, you might recognize the names of Lou Brock, who is the Hall of Fame baseball player who spent most of his years playing left field for the St. Louis Cardinals. Another one is Randy Jackson, one of the original stars of American Idol and a record producer and entrepreneur. Here's some trivia I didn't know until I was preparing for the podcast. I knew about Randy Jackson on American Idol, of course, but I didn't know he was a member of the rock band Journey. Another famous alumni of Southern is General Russell Honoré. He's well known for being the one who came in and helped take charge of New Orleans and restore order and confidence after Katrina. If you saw him on television, you might remember him as the cigar-chomping general barking out orders. He usually had a beret on his head. All right, I spent a lot of time talking about the Bayou Classic because I think it's an event that not enough people know about unless you actually have a connection to one of the two schools. All right, moving on. Next on my list are something called the Réveillon dinners. So these are dinners offered in the month of December at restaurants throughout New Orleans. But let's talk a little bit about the history. First, the name comes from the French word réveil, if I'm saying that correctly, which means wakening or awakening. In some dictionaries, it's referred to as alarm clock. But it refers to the French tradition of long dinners that preceded Christmas Day and sometimes New Year's Day. And they were held after Mass late on Christmas Eve and into the early morning hours. So think about going to a church service late at night and then coming home, typically early the next morning, and having a big feast before you go to sleep and then wake up on Christmas Day or New Year's Day. In New Orleans, the tradition's important because it has its roots in both our French Creole heritage as well as our Catholic heritage. So New Orleans was, and really still is, largely a Catholic city. and of course, strong French influence having been under the French control at one point. The tradition was to attend midnight mass on Christmas Eve and then go home and celebrate with a big, usually extravagant dinner. And the tradition was present in New Orleans from the early 1800s through the 1940s when it pretty much tapered off and went away for the most part. In the 1990s, it was resurrected with a twist. These traditional dinners became fixtures on menus in French Quarter restaurants. So they took the tradition and they created menus that hopefully were indicative or reminiscent of those family dinners. And they created fixed-price Réveillon dinners, and they offered them in the restaurants in the city as a way of honoring the tradition and bringing back or encouraging tourism during the month of December, which in the 1990s was pretty low. These days, it's a pretty popular time to be here, and these dinners play a big role in that. Each year, nearly 50 restaurants offer their version of a Réveillon dinner. And I should mention, Réveillon is spelled R-E-V-E-I-L-L-O-N, Réveillon. So the prices range this year, for instance, from $34 on up to $110 per person. The average price is right around $50, and most menus include a four-course meal. In fact, none of them include less than a four-course meal. And some, like Commander's Palace, which is the most expensive this year at $110 a person, offers an eight-course feast. So the Réveillon menus start coming out each year in November. And again, Réveillon dinners are held from December 1st through the end of the year, with a couple of them bleeding over to January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, somewhere like that. So they come out each year in November. Here's a couple I would consider. The first are sort of the classic old line French Quarter restaurants. So in my mind, those are Antoine's, Arnaud's, Galatoire's. Antoine's, in fact, is the oldest family-run restaurant in the country. It was opened in 1840. So this year's Réveillon menu is $49, four courses again. Let me give you a sampling of the menu here. The first course, you can have charbroiled Louisiana oysters or Creole gumbo with crabs and oysters and shrimp in it. Charbroiled oysters usually refer to oysters served on the half shell, but they're put under a broiler. They usually have sometimes some cheese on top, garlic, lemon, butter, sauce, which is sort of the foundation of a lot of great sauces in New Orleans. But they'll take an oyster and just broil it under that, and they serve it, again, usually on the half shell. So you can have charbroiled oysters or Creole gumbo for your first course. The second course is a salad. The third course will give you a couple of options, a chicken dish with mushroom sauce or a Louisiana drum, which is a good fish caught in the Gulf of Mexico usually, stuffed with crab meat and shrimp over rice. And then the fourth course there is an eggnog bread pudding or a raspberry chocolate mousse. So again, that's four courses for $49. That's a great way to try that restaurant, experience the tradition of Réveillon, and just the old-time New Orleans restaurant feel. Of course, Antoine's has a huge menu, but that's a pretty good deal for $49, in my opinion. Another choice, kind of along the same lines, would be Arnaud's. Again, another is when I think about classic old-line New Orleans restaurants. Arnaud's comes to mind. In fact, my wife just took her mom to Arnaud's for Réveillon dinner just a couple days ago. Their menu this year is $49, so kind of in the same ballpark. For first choice, you can get a shrimp remoulade, or you can get duck rillettes. Second course, you can get Creole onion soup or a salad. My wife had the soup and said it was terrific. It had a puff pastry on top of the traditional onion soup. The third course, the main course, you could have corbouillon, again with Louisiana drum. That's a corbouillon is usually a tomato-based sauce on a fish. That's very common in New Orleans, really good. Another option there was the Cornish gamed hen, which I know my mother-in-law had and she thought was excellent. And you can get a pork flat iron steak. And then there's a couple of dessert choices. I know they had the tarte tartare. It's a nice way to experience a classic New Orleans restaurant during the holidays. One of my favorite Réveillon menus, though, is outside the French Quarter, and it's at a place called Brightson's in Riverbend. I think I mentioned Frank Brightson in the last episode when we were talking about Boudin, bourbon, and beer. This year, his Réveillon menu is $48. The first choice is an oyster chowder with bacon and fennel, or you can get a filet gumbo with chicken and andouille sausage. Andouille sausage is a type of pork sausage. Your second course is a salad or baked oysters bienville or barbecue shrimp. The third course is duck au l'orange or a stuffed filet of flounder, or a pan-roasted pork tenderloin. Frank Brightson has always been known for his use of duck and his approach to preparing duck, so I'd be tempted to try the duck if I were going there. And the fourth course, again, dessert. So his offerings this year include a sweet potato bread pudding, an eggnog creme brulee, which would be my choice, or a pecan pie with caramel sauce. Here's the main thing to me about Revillon. It's fun, and I think it's a pretty affordable way to experience some of New Orleans' great restaurants and a unique tradition. I think there's something that spans all budgets. And again, you can have a really fancy formal meal, or you can have a little bit more laid-back meal, all while taking part in this tradition that is just a unique part of New Orleans history. Let me tell you about how we do it in my family. For many years, my whole family would attend midnight mass at the St. Louis Cathedral. Or I should say, sometimes it was midnight mass, sometimes it would be a little earlier. And we did that a couple times. Finally, I had enough when I looked over one year, and my entire family was asleep during mass. So after that, we'd go to an earlier mass, and near the end, I would duck out, and I'm just being honest here, I would duck out after communion, run down St. Peter Street, which is on the side of the Jackson Square, and then get in line at the gumbo shop. The gumbo shop is on St. Peter's. My family would join me right after mass ended, and we'd celebrate a great meal together. I love the gumbo shop because the food is good. It's in a building that dates back to the 1790s. And when you're sitting there late on Christmas Eve, it just feels like New Orleans. To be in the heart of the French Quarter, late on Christmas Eve, eating a traditional New Orleans meal with my family, that to me is just the essence of New Orleans living, frankly. Our twin girls are still a little bit too young for this tradition. They're 4 right now. But it won't be too long before we'll be taking them down there. The gumbo shop offers what is usually the lowest priced Revillon menu of the season. And that's true this year. It's $34. And it includes as a first choice, first course, you get either oyster and artichoke soup, again, a chicken and andouille gumbo, or a turtle soup. Those are all classic New Orleans dishes, all of which are great. Good place to sample them and get a real good sense of what those are like. Second course, you get a salad. Third course, they give you several options. You can have something they call Catfish St. Peter, which I've never had. You could have crawfish etouffee. They do a nice version of that there. Crab cakes with crawfish and peppercorn sauce. You get penne pasta. You get a roasted half duck with a local rum and Louisiana citrus sauce. And then their desserts this year include chocolate cheesecake with raspberry liqueur, bread pudding, or pecan pie. They also throw in a bit of lagniappe, and I'll explain that in a minute. And their lagniappe is in the form of a drink called Café Brûlée, which basically means devilishly brewed coffee. This is a very dark coffee that's flaming. It has either brandy or cognac in it, so they can light it, of course. But it usually includes some combination of cloves, cinnamon, sugar, lemon, or orange, sometimes both. Basically, it's heavily spiced. It involves coffee and fire. What more could you really want? It's a traditional New Orleans drink. It's usually paired with dessert, but you don't see it at many places anymore. It was created at Antoine's, so they have it there. Usually during the Revillon, you can certainly count on it at the gumbo shop, and I would expect you could find it not only at Antoine's, of course, but at Arnaud's and probably Galatoire's as well. I mentioned the word lagniappe, so let me jump back to that real quick. Lagniappe means a little something extra, and in a future episode, we'll get into that a little bit more. But in this case, the Café Brûlée would be considered lagniappe or a little something extra. As you can tell, I love the tradition of Revillon. I think it's a wonderful way for visitors and locals to soak in New Orleans and combine the history and the traditions with the modern twist of dining out. Moving on, number 9 on my list are the bonfires on the levee, sometimes called the bonfires on the bayou. So this is the Cajun tradition, which was to light bonfires along the Mississippi River levees to illuminate the path for Papa Noel, for Santa Claus, on Christmas Eve. It dates back to the 1720s, and the bonfires are mostly found in St. James Parish, which is about 30 or 40 miles upriver from New Orleans, and centered in the towns of Gramercy, Lutcher, and Paulina. And here's a little bit of trivia for you. If you've ever eaten Zapp's potato chips, they were created in Gramercy, Louisiana. And that's, again, sort of the heart of where the bonfires are these days. So let's get back to those bonfires. Each year, there's as many as 100 bonfires on the Mississippi River levees out there in St. James. They're usually these tall, narrow pyramids assembled, sort of like if you played with the Lincoln Logs as a kid, right? That toy. But I've seen them in all kinds of creative structures. I've seen them in the shape of a saint's helmet. I've seen them in the shape of a fire truck. So people really, these are done by folks that live there, and they're pretty creative. So sometimes you'll see the pyramids, and that's probably the majority of them. But you'll also see these other shapes. So again, there's usually 100 of them, sometimes more. If you're visiting from out of town, I think the best way to see the bonfires is to do one of the Grey Line bus tours. So it gets you out of the driving. And the driving's a little tough because you're going into an area that gets really crowded on Christmas Eve particularly. These are small communities. And if you're not familiar with them, it can be a little bit hard to figure out and find places to park and all that stuff. The other thing is, if you pick up the Grey Line bus or you take one of those tours, it picks you up right in the French Quarter at the Mississippi River. So it's really convenient if you're staying down there. This year they have two options. One takes you to see the bonfires, and it doesn't include much else. They call it the Express Package, and this year it's $46 for adults. The second option with the Grey Line bus tours is a good bit more expensive at $113 per adult, but it includes a guided tour of the San Francisco Plantation, which is right along the Mississippi River levee out there in St. James, and it includes dinner in addition to visiting the bonfires. I think either one would be fun, but if I were going to do this on Christmas Eve, I'd be tempted to go with the full-blown experience. That seems like a pretty nice way to go to me. But there's other ways you can experience the bonfires if you don't want to go on Christmas Eve or if you aren't here in New Orleans on Christmas Eve. One is to go to Algiers Point, which is just across the Mississippi River from the French Quarter, and it's easily accessible by a ferry boat. You can drive your car into the boat, or you can just walk on and take it across as a passenger. The bonfires at Algiers Point are held the first Saturday in December, so they include a lighting of the bonfire and a concert. They light the bonfire at 8:30, but they have live music in the hours before. There's plenty of places to get food and drink nearby as well. Another option, also on the same day, in fact, this year, is to go to Oak Alley. So Oak Alley is a plantation, again, out along the Mississippi River. They have what they call the Oak Alley Plantation Bonfire Party. And you can get all the information for that event at oakalleyplantation.com/events. But I'll give you the highlights of it. So each year in early December, again, this year it's December 5th, the Oak Alley Plantation hosts an annual party. It includes dinner and drinks, a lighting of the bonfire, and caroling on the Mississippi River. So it's not the bonfires with 100 bonfires that are lit on Christmas Eve, but they light a bonfire that day. They have caroling when they light the bonfire. You get to go to the plantation. You get a big dinner. My wife has been to this many years ago and says it's terrific. They have the Christmas caroling. They have live music at the plantation, and they have dancing. They serve beignets and other desserts afterwards. There's an open bar. It's $130 a person, so it's not inexpensive, but I think you get to capture so many of the things. You get the idea of the bonfires and get to see a bonfire lighting without going on Christmas Eve. You get to experience the plantation of Oak Alley. You get great food and music. You get beignets, which I always love. All in one. So that seems like a really neat way to get the Christmas experience, the plantation all wrapped in one. And Oak Alley will be familiar to you if you've ever seen a picture of a Louisiana plantation with or through an alley of live oak trees, right? So Oak Alley, looking through the live oak trees, you get it, right? The Oak Alley Plantation House was built between 1837 and 1839, and it's located in Vacherie, Louisiana, which is 50 miles west of New Orleans. Number 10 on my list is Celebration in the Oaks. So this is an annual event that runs from Thanksgiving through January 2nd, and what they do is they light up the oak trees in City Park with Christmas lights. So City Park is in the heart of New Orleans. It's less than 5 miles from the French Quarter. City Park is the sixth largest urban park in the United States, actually, and it's more than 1,300 acres. So for Celebration in the Oaks, they have these lighted displays and decorated Christmas trees and other exhibits throughout the park. It's really inexpensive. It's $8 for adults, and it's free for kids who are under 3 years old. Inside the park, There's a botanical garden. There's a children's play area called Storyland. And there's a carousel, so a traditional carousel with the carved horses. So for Celebration in the Oaks, all of those areas are decorated. So not only the actual oak trees, but you have the different things in these little sub-parks within City Park. You can also take a train ride. They have a little mini train. So for $5, you can take a train ride and see the lights all throughout the park. That's a really fun thing to do. One of my favorites is there's a display. I think it's in the botanical garden, but it's certainly part of the Celebration in the Oaks. And it's called the Cajun Night Before Christmas display. So New Orleans and Louisiana seem to take on lots of traditional things like the story of the night before Christmas and put our twist on it. So there's a book called The Cajun Night Before Christmas. And so they have a display with a lit up alligator and some characters from the book. And there's some audio behind it and some music as well as the lights. So that's always fun for the kids. And I love it as well. So that's worth seeing. And then, of course, there's Mr. Bingle. Now, I'm saying, of course, and if you're not from here, you're thinking, who's Mr. Bingle? Well, he's New Orleans' own Christmas snowman. So he has an ice cream cone for a hat and holly for a wings. If you grew up here in New Orleans, you know, maybe in other places in the country, your mom would take you to go have breakfast with Santa Claus during Christmas season. But here in New Orleans, you go to a now defunct department store called Maison Blanche, and Mr. Bingle was the symbol of Maison Blanche. And so you go have breakfast with Mr. Bingle. There was a big Mr. Bingle character that would hang from the store on Canal Street. I think it was about 40 feet long. And so that character sort of homage to Mr. Bingle is present in Celebration in the Oaks each year. I think I mentioned, but just in case I didn't, in Celebration in the Oaks, you can walk through it. So you could take the train tour, but you can wander through the gardens and see the displays. It's really fun and it's a popular tradition. It had 165,000 attendees last year. So what you want to do is avoid Saturdays if you can, and you want to go online and buy your tickets ahead of time. There's always a long line of people trying to buy tickets there, but if you buy them online and print them out, then you can skip that line and walk right in. Here's another tip for you. There's a place called Morning Call in City Park. So it's a beignet place. So they serve coffee and beignets. It's a great place to go and a good alternative for beignets if you don't want to go to Café Du Monde in the French Quarter. But when you pair it with Celebration in the Oaks, it's a really nice thing to do. So it's going to be crowded during Celebration in the Oaks, but you could go get your beignets in Café au Lait either before, so you get there early, kind of late afternoon, go have your beignet and coffee. If you have kids with you, there's a nice little playground right adjacent to it. Or you could go after you see the lights. That's the way we do it, by the way. You go get your beignets and coffee, let the kids run around a little bit, burn up some energy. As soon as the gates open, we've bought our tickets online, go in and enjoy the Celebration in the Oaks. It's really a fun event. It would be a good date thing to do. It's good with families. We've done it all different ways. Long before we had kids, we'd go each year. We certainly take the kids now. We really enjoy it. There's a lot to see, and at least in our case, the kids are worn out long before we get to see everything, but it's really nice. And even if you're just driving by the park, you'll see some of the lights hanging from the oak trees and get that experience. All right, so that's 10 on our list, but since I jumped ahead last week and did 6, I'm actually going to give you 2 extras. In this case, both of them are running events. I've been a runner since I was 11 years old, so I'm particularly interested in running events. And there's 2 things in New Orleans that happen this time of year that are particularly noteworthy. The first is the annual Turkey Day race. Obviously, it's held on Thanksgiving, and they have Turkey Day races in lots of places. But the 2015 edition here in New Orleans is the 106th annual, making this 5-mile race one of the oldest races continually held in the United States that's not a marathon. I'm a sucker for tradition, and I think it's a nice way to start your Thanksgiving day, whether you're a local or you're visiting family and friends for the holiday. The other thing that makes this event nice is the average temperatures in New Orleans in November are usually a high of 70 with a low of around 50. So what you usually get on Thanksgiving morning here is 55 degrees, so a little bit cool, but not too bad. You can go out, get a nice 5-mile run in. Usually has about 2,500 runners. It finishes on a track inside Tad Gormley Stadium, which is in the center of City Park. It was also the host of the 1992 U.S. Olympic Trials. And if you're a runner, everyone loves that thrill of entering a stadium and getting to take a turn on the track and finish. The second event, again, a uniquely New Orleans event, is called the Jackson Day Race. So it's held early January each year. In 2016, it'll be on January 3rd. This is the oldest race in New Orleans, and it'll be the 108th year. In a place like New Orleans, you have a 106-year-old Turkey Day race, and then just a month or two later, you have the 108th annual Jackson Day race. So there's a bunch of things that are unique about it. It's a point-to-point course, and it starts at Old Spanish Fort, which is out near Lake Pontchartrain, and finishes in Jackson Square in the heart of the French Quarter, right in front of the St. Louis Cathedral. Another thing that's unique about it is that it's 9 kilometers, which is 5.6 miles. And the reason that it's that distance, the significance of the course, is that General Andrew Jackson, who, of course, went on to be a U.S. president, on January 8th in 1815, he called for all the help he could get to ward off a British attack. So that was in the middle of the battle in New Orleans. He calls back to the city and says, hey, we're under attack. We need all the help we can get. And there were a fleet of pirates under the command of Jean Lafitte. They were at a place that is now called Spanish Fort. So they hurried down to the Place d'Armes, which is now Jackson Square, to support General Jackson. So the route of the Jackson Day race commemorates not only Andrew Jackson and his significance in the Battle of New Orleans, but the actual route that the pirates of Jean Lafitte took to come down and answer the call. So again, it's 5.6 miles. It's point to point. It's a historic route. You get to see a little bit of the city that you might not see otherwise. Spanish Fort is pretty much gone now. There's a few crumbling remains, but it'd be easy to miss if you were just driving by. So you get the history of that. You follow a route along what is called Bayou St. John. It takes you down into the French Quarter, and you end at Jackson Square. That's a pretty nice run for an early January event. All right, so let's recap what we talked about today. We picked up our list from last time and talked about the Bayou Classic with both the football game as well as the Battle of the Bands on Friday night and the Greek show and the history of those two schools, Grambling University, Southern University, and some of the notable alumni of those schools. We then talked about the Réveillon tradition of these big elaborate meals and how that's been picked up again in New Orleans in the month of December, where you can go to any one of 50 restaurants and have a Réveillon, a fixed price menu that celebrates the past and the dishes. We talked about how there's lots of options there. You can go to old line French Quarter restaurants. You can go to newer restaurants. The menus are available beginning in November for you to take a look at. They're in, you can go have the meals in December, and they're offered at restaurants all throughout the city. So again, if you're going to be here in December, I would definitely check that out. We usually go 2 or 3 times in December and pick up menus that sound good and use it as a date night excuse, but really get to take time and enjoy the season. Again, I mentioned as well that my favorite way to do that as a whole family is to go to the gumbo shop, go to late mass or either midnight mass or early afternoon mass on Christmas Eve at Jackson Square at the St. Louis Cathedral, and then go to the gumbo shop. But there's lots of ways to make it your own tradition. The bonfires on the levee, and we talked about the traditional bonfires, the 100 or so that are lit up each Christmas Eve. And if you're not going to be here for Christmas Eve, but you want to experience the bonfires in early December, you could go out to Algiers Point for the lighting of the bonfire, or you could take the experience and go out to Oak Alley and have the dinner and the dancing, the food, the music, drinks, and the bonfire. And then again, number 10 on the list was celebration in the Oaks and City Park. Really a fun time, again, whether it's just adults or it includes kids. Go see the lights, wander around, get to see the different parts of the park, which if you're not from here, you haven't been here in a while, there's a lot going on in City Park. You have the history of the oak trees, and there's almost no way for me to describe adequately what it's like to see an 800-year-old oak tree among just many hundreds, if not thousands, of oak trees that range from 25 years old to 800 years old. In fact, it's a really popular tradition this time of year. You'll see families out there taking their Christmas photographs, hanging on the trees or leaning against the trees or letting the kids run. So that's really fun. Again, as a local, my tip to you would be to combine that with getting some beignets at Morning Call in City Park. That's a great place to just stop for beignets if you're out and about and you're outside the French Quarter. We do it often. The kids ask for it all the time. But when you combine it with Celebration in the Oaks, that's a nice afternoon and evening. And then again, if you're a runner or you just want to walk off some calories, There's the Thanksgiving Turkey Day race and the Jackson Day race in early January. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, learned a few things, and found some things you might not have known about or considered before. If you did, do me a favor and leave us a rating on iTunes. And if you'd like to hear more shows like this one, please subscribe. New episodes are available every other Wednesday, and you can find us online at www.beyondbourbonst.com. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.